a.m. Sunday morning, out of line. Not sure where the hell Brian went, but he's here roaming around somewhere.
It's strange times indeed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was here, disappeared. Jeez, it's like, you think the guy would take his radio show a little more serious, but nonetheless, we are here. It's Magnum Spencer Ostrovsky, a.k.a. The Wiz.
The Wiz. No Caleb today.
No Caleb. Did he just decide he wasn't coming in? Or
he's a very special occasion today. I don't know if I'll say that on air.
Okay. Well,
no, it's a good day for him, actually. So no need to worry. I guess you have to say that about everybody who isn't present, or
yeah.
If you hear someone cough, you know, you got to make sure there's some sort of area. You got to explain everything now because everyone's on watch alert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got a day off. So nonetheless, not a whole lot going on in the world of sports. I guess we're just kind of winging it today. You know, it's a trying time, I think. There's a lot of people stressed out, a lot of people living with the reality that this is coming here, and it seems like you know, I don't want to say we're woefully underprepared, but it does seem like there's a lot of people on edge. The sports world hit reality this last week when pretty much everything, well, not pretty much, I mean, everything was canceled outside of a few, I'd say, one-off events. I know WWE had their event on Friday night. Was
crazy.
It SmackDown? And
yeah.
It, with no audience. Still trying to figure that one out. UFC had an event yesterday. I think it was in Brazil. I didn't watch it, but I know it was on ESPN. Mexican Soccer League is still in action. But outside of that, there's really not a whole lot going on. I mean, right.
Bowling.
Yeah, I can't. Really? They're bowling?
I saw a bowling video, at least.
You know, I mean, the crazy thing is today would be a day that we're talking about Selection Sunday. I mean, that's what today is. Today would be Selection Sunday. We'd be talking about if Rutgers had done enough to get in, if, you know, who Utah State and San Diego State are going to get in their first round matchups. Those are things that we would be discussing today. But
well, we'd still be talking today about Rick Pitino and getting hired at Iona. We'd still be talking about the collective bargaining agreement from the NFL. But those are about the only two normal things right now we'd be talking about. Everything else has gone out the window. I mean, I'm not shocked at all, Chris, that there's UFC in Brazil. No audience. It was actually really entertaining. The couple of the fights were really quick, but Dana White capitalizing, man. I knew somebody would capitalize on the coronavirus. And you know what? UFC probably picked up a bunch more fans this weekend because there was nothing to watch. If you're a sports person, yeah, you're watching bowling or you're watching the UFC. Maybe you're watching horse racing because horse racing was going on too, which was kind of strange with nobody in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess at some point we'll discuss Rudy Gobert. And I feel like Rudy Gobert may not necessarily be, I think a lot of people may be looking at him the wrong way. Like, I think a lot of people are looking at him as an idiot and this jackass. And I think the reality is he's an unintentional hero in all of this, because I honestly believe if Rudy Gobert does not test positive for the coronavirus, all these events are going on all over.
Chris, I got one for you right now, and I said it Friday night on a different show. I said, you know, Rudy Gobert is the NBA Defensive Player of the Year this year. Not only, and why? He shut down the entire NBA. Yeah. He might be the Defensive Player of the Year in every sport out there because he shut down all the sports. And maybe he's being looked at the wrong way, but if you saw his antics at the press conference after his last game against Toronto, where he was touching the microphone, purposely touching everything, how ironic that he's the first person to actually contract the coronavirus, as far as we know, as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say poetic justice. Well, I am saying poetic justice, but in the same respect, you know, the guy was an ass, but he did do something really cool. Did you hear what he did?
Yeah, I saw he donated $500,000 to
U.S. and France to all the people to help
Oklahoma
relief.
City, Salt Lake City.
Yep.
But
But I mean, still, he should do that. He, you know, I don't know whether, you know, you still don't know. Maybe Donovan Mitchell contracted it first. I doubt it. But the whole thing is you got three guys now, one of them being Christian Wood, former UNLV player, who, you know, I was excited when I saw that he was a Detroit Piston, just because getting to know him a little bit here at UNLV, I thought, we all thought he left too soon. He should have played another year of college basketball. But it's worked out. He did have the NBA frame, and it turns out he did have the NBA game. His last game before. For that game, I should say, against Utah, that Wood played and probably contracted the virus, 30 points, 11 rebounds, double-doubles for Christian Wood in the NBA. Chris, honestly, did you ever see that happening?
No. In fact, I was probably one of the people who said he was stupid for going early. And, you know, he had to work his way to that point. I mean, he had to go the hard route, went through the G League, and I think he was with the Sixers for a little bit. But, you know, he seems to have found a home in Detroit, and now this happens. Now they're saying he's asymptomatic. Is that?
Yeah.
He's not.
No, asymptomatic.
He's not showing any symptoms, but.
He tested positive.
He tested positive because they tested everyone who's played against Rudy Gobert in the last couple of weeks. I guess the Celtics players were tested.
What about the Raptors? They were the last team
to play. They were all on self quarantine.
But they've all come back with negative tests. Yeah. Every one of them
is by far the most surprising, because there's a video of him kissing the ball after Rudy Gobert shot a free throw. It's like one of the most jarring things.
Maybe they should test him a couple times. You know, make sure that test is accurate. But you know, it's surprising that more professional athletes don't have it. Maybe we'll find out over time, because there's so many professional athletes just in this country alone that we'll start seeing it maybe in some other sports. Oh,
we've had some soccer players in Europe test positive.
Yeah,
I'm saying. A couple guys in England, a couple guys in Italy.
And they're still playing soccer.
No, not in Europe. It's pretty much all shut down.
I was seeing scores today. I don't know where they're playing.
Maybe in Mexico. They're playing in Mexico still.
I mean, and of course.
I think Colombia and Brazil are still playing.
You heard the next major event was supposed to be April 8th, the Masters, and that, of course, got canceled this weekend. But yet, UFC has one coming up in late March again, and this guy is just going to keep fighting and taking advantage and capitalizing on this situation. He's not listening to any of the fear mongers out there, and he is just absolutely going to continue to make money. And, you know, I'm not surprised. It's a smart move. I said that all the lesser sports that don't usually have big crowds anyway should keep playing, test the players, and let them keep playing, because that'll get recognition right now, the sports that usually don't draw a crowd, because right now we are starving for sports. I mean, it was amazing if you saw what I posted, and if you saw the Review Journal a couple of days ago, it says closed. You know, the front of the sports section said that it was closed. And you know, as comical as it is, it's not really comical. This is a very scary thing. I mean, I'm still supposed to go to Costa Rica this coming Wednesday night, flying out. And in all honesty, it's not so much. I'm just not scared of contracting the virus and anything happening to me. I'm in good shape. I feel okay about that. It's getting stuck in Central America. I mean, Costa Rica is a pretty beautiful place to get stuck in, but I don't think they're going to say, hey, you're American, you're not allowed to fly back, so you know what, stay at our Airbnb for free, we're going to feed you and everything until you're ready to go back. I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think the mortgage payment and stuff here is going to say, okay, it's cool, we're not going to let you pay your mortgage. I mean, they're looking at some alleviation of that, but I don't know, Spencer, should I go to Central America, man? You're the guy with your finger on the pulse of this thing.
I would not. We're already talking about, you know, limiting domestic travel, so I wouldn't even go to another state right now, to be honest with you, unless you're driving there, of course.
Well, I figured Hawaii. I think my company has a net branch in Hawaii. I could work in Honolulu if I bring my computer, and a lot of the business I do in mortgages, I'm doing over the phone anyways. Everything is e-sign these days, so Hawaii wouldn't be the worst place to get stuck in the world.
You go John Gruden to just like put a mattress in your office or something like that, and then make it look like you're working really hard, but in reality, you just don't want to pay for a hotel every day. But you don't have to tell your boss that.
Yeah, that, you know, no reason to say that. Well, I'd expect them to put me up if I was stuck in Hawaii. Like, man, pick up the tab at least for this.
But yeah, I mean, it's like I said when we started.
This is crazy. Chris, here's the deal. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is nuts, man. I mean, when you think about it, look at all the things we've lived through in our lives. And it's not been like major things. We didn't live through a world war, although I was around when Vietnam was going on. Some people say that was the third world war. But realistically, we've lived through a lot of different things. And impeachments, assassinations. I have never in my life seen anything like this, a shutdown of the world, so to speak. And I mean, it is a, you know, a pandemic, as they call it. But I mean, people are half-assed joking. Like Dana White said, the only way we're stopping is if they basically quarantine us to our houses. Well, are we that far away from that right now?
Well, I mean, if you look at what's happening in Italy and Spain, I don't know if that's what's next. Because I really feel like Americans won't listen. I mean, you're seeing all the warnings, and you're seeing, you know, messages coming out of Italy. Hey, you have no idea what you're in for. Is a lot of the messages that I'm seeing coming out of Italy, and you know, I did nothing yesterday. I was home. Once we're done with this show, I'm going home. You're not going to see me. I have enough water. I hope I have enough food. But
you got enough toilet paper?
I don't. You know what? I still don't understand what the craze about the toilet paper is. It's like, you know, I buy.
I mean, you know, the bottom line is, I just decided. You know, I didn't get toilet paper, but I decided. You know, if we run out, you know, I have a shower in my bathroom. Yes, I'm going to turn it into a bidet, and I'm going to wash my ass. It's that simple. I'm not going to worry. I mean, I'm not going to run to the store and buy 16 pallets of toilet paper. So if somebody contracts it in my house, nobody has to go anywhere. For toilet paper, I guarantee we're still going to have to go out for something. So, I mean, it is ridiculous, this panic that we have all gone into as far as stocking up on goods.
Well, the panic and the hoarding is
unreal.
The hoarding is really what's... I feel maybe that's what's causing a bit of the panic. That, like, I mean, I got up this morning, and before we came to the studio, I went to the grocery store and it was open, but a lot of the stores are not opening until later in the day. Like, I stopped at a big box store. They're not opening until 9. There was another grocery store. They're not opening till 8. Now I did.
Chris, I'm sorry. It was making me think of something with the stores. I just thought of I'm walking through Smith's. I just went in there to pick up a few things, and I mean, it's amazing how many shelves are empty of stupid stuff. But I saw this, let's say, overweight guy, and he's sitting there staring at a can of chickpeas. It's like the dude hasn't eaten a chickpea in his life, but right now he's got to find something else to bring home. So he's looking at chickpeas. I mean, this is what we've come to. People are buying things and eating things that they normally wouldn't go and buy, and they've become a premium item on the shelves at supermarkets and stores. And that's where I'm just scratching my head, like, you know, come on, people. We're not, you know... Are we worried that we're going to lose a surplus of our food and stuff?
I think the reality is we are entering a time in this country that we have never seen before. None of us were alive during the Spanish influenza. I mean, if you are, you're 102 years old. I think that was 1918. None of us have ever, you know, been through, we've never been through the Civil War or anything like that. But most of us have been through 9/11. And to me, this is a little scarier than 9/11, because we don't know what the end result of all this is going to be. With 9/11, there was a lot of uncertainty, and Congress acted very quick following 9/11. It seems to me that the government is not acting quick on this, and there's still a lot of people who aren't taking it serious. And I think what we need to accept is, as a country, we will get through this, but there are going to be Americans who are not going to get through this. And I think people need to stop and understand the severity of what that means. You know, we're all relatively young. I'm 40. You're not an old guy. Spencer's in his early 20s. I don't think any of us are going to have to worry about getting really sick and having to be on a respirator, I hope. But our parents might, our grandparents, if they're still around,
might. Think about it. My father will be 82 in May.
And he's still practicing medicine.
He's practicing medicine, and we can't get him to stop. And he is at a tremendous risk right now for this. And it is, that's where the scary part is, and that's what they're saying. It's, you know, a lot of parents, as a matter of fact, a good friend of mine I was over the other night, and we're talking about her son, and she was kind of bummed because she's like, man, they're talking about closing down the school. I don't want that to happen and then go through the summer, and it's going to affect our vacation and our life. And you know, the kids are, no kids are dying. And I said, well, Jen, here's the deal. okay? It's not about the kids dying. It's about them being carriers and going and hugging their grandparents and giving their grandparents the coronavirus. That's the problem. I mean, and, you know, nobody's sitting here worrying about it, but all of us are connected in some way to probably somebody over 60 years old.
Yeah.
And you don't want anything to happen to them. And that's what this is for. It is protecting our loved ones, not so much worried about us. And still, the numbers are staggering when they say maybe only 1% of the people are dying from the disease, but 20% are going to require some type of acute care, which means hospitalization. 20% is 1 in 5 people that contract the virus. That is a lot. Maybe most of those won't die, but 20% is still a lot that will require acute care, health, and these respirators. Most of these respirators, guys, are more expensive than your house. So it's not like they can just start mass producing these things and putting them in people's houses. There are only, I think I heard, like 100,000 of these machines in our country. Considering the population, 100,000 is a lot less than 20%.
Yeah.
So that is a scary and staggering number where people are just going to be, now what do you turn somebody away if all 5 of the units in a particular hospital are taken up in the ICU? What do you do when the 6th person comes in? Well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Well, or, that's what they're doing in Italy.
Yeah, pretty much eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's really scary.
So, you know, the other thing, and I don't understand why the decision has not been made to close our schools. I saw the governor of Ohio, and credit to him, he's been very active, I guess, in speaking about it. You know, he was like the first to come out and say, hey, we're gonna ban people from sporting events. Actually, I think that was the SAP Center in San Jose saying, hey, no Sharks games with fans. But the governor of Ohio, I think it was either today or late last night, said that people in Ohio need to realize that we may have to close the schools for the remainder of the year, for the remainder of the school year. The CDC is saying 8 weeks. There's a lot of schools across the country that have closed. Clark County School District, I understand it's a very, very difficult situation, and I understand that there's a lot of kids who won't get meals. We as a community need to come together and figure out how we're going to feed these kids, whether it's the Knights stepping up, whether it's MGM, whether it's the common, the Steve Wynn, people.
Here's the thing, though, Chris. MGM, and this is a really, you bring up a good point about like MGM helping out the community, you know, considering all the money the casinos made. Friday night after my other radio show, I went out and I met my friend Nick, who is pretty high up at MGM International, a guy that helps me and my family out when they come to town, you know, rooms and stuff. Great guy. And we had to talk about a few things, and one of them was the NFL draft, which I'm going to fill you guys in on, because that's kind of a guy on the inside. Bellagio's an MGM property, so he kind of has, doesn't know for sure, but he has kind of a little bit of inside hearing of what's going to happen with the NFL draft, so I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But talking to Nick, Chris, the National Broadcasters Association conference was just about here. It was supposed to come this next weekend.
Yeah.
90,000 people come to Las Vegas for that. I was amazed at the number. 90,000. I thought he had said 30,000, and I mentioned that on the air Friday. It turns out 90,000, they have canceled completely.
Yeah.
The numbers, he says, every casino is like a ghost ship right now, but he says the numbers of cancellation, people are getting laid off left and right at the casinos. They can't afford to help out right now. They are cutting employees, and it's crazy because it's not going to get any better. And it's what Nick is saying is, and there's no offense, and it's just, they don't want to cut room rates down to $30 a night to stay at the Mirage, because what you're going to get is you're going to start getting staycations from people they don't want at the Mirage. I mean, no offense, but let's be realistic. You know, you don't want to turn the Mirage into the Motel 6 in North Las Vegas as far as room rates go. You can't do it. They'd rather be empty. And the reason people aren't coming is everyone's, why are these people canceling? What's the deal? Here is what it is. It's not them canceling. It is the attorneys of these corporations or these entities saying, you can't do this, because here's the deal. One person contracts coronavirus in Vegas, we're going to get sued for sending them. And then MGM saying, we almost don't want them coming, because if someone contracts it, we're going to get sued. Even though, you know, they're going to say, well, the casino's a breeding ground for this. And why is it? Because they pump natural oxygen into casinos, which opens up your blood, keeps you awake, and it also speeds up the process of things like the coronavirus going through your system.
Oh, and think about it. People touching the slot machines and
they, you know, say it stays for 12 hours on metal. So, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, it's scary sitting right here, all the people that talk into these microphones.
I think it just really is.
It's crazy, man.
This city is going to go through something I don't think any of us ever could have imagined. I hope that whatever happens is quick and we're able to get this thing under control as quick as possible, because the economic ramifications on this city from, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to have a job. You know, you're in the mortgage business. People aren't going to be buying houses if they're losing their jobs.
And refinancing was a big thing. But here's the deal. What happens is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have not changed their guidelines to refinance. And what that means for you people out there is if you get laid off, we are going to qualify you based on your current income. And if you're laid off and you're making a portion of your current income, we have to qualify that, because unless your employer can tell us an exact date you're coming back to work. So all of a sudden, people that would normally qualify to refinance and get some money out of their house, put it away for a rainy day, which is right now, they can't qualify for mortgages. Not only that, interest rates, everyone is assuming interest rates are going to keep dropping, because typically when the stock market's bad, when the bond is low, interest rates go down.
Yeah.
But that's not the case right now, because what's happening, these major investors are looking at how low rates have gotten, and they're looking at the instability of our market, and they're saying, I'm not going to drop any more money into mortgage-backed securities, which are the most safe security, you know, some of the best investments out there. These big, gigantic companies that stock it, other than the mega banks, are saying, no, we're not going to lower, and we're not lowering interest rates anymore. We got to stop loaning money. So what we do as mortgage companies, we start backing off, we raise up our margins, and next thing you know, your interest rates go up. And people are calling me like, oh, how are interest rates going up? This is a crime. What are you guys doing? What we're doing is we're protecting ourselves to stay in business. And it is amazing how this is a trickle-down effect and affecting all of us. And like you said, Chris, who knows when this is going to end and when, you know, we're going to be okay, and what kind of relief can be offered to us? Can really these mega banks just say, okay, we're going to alleviate you of 3 or 4 mortgage payments? They can't do that. All of a sudden, we're going to all start running and taking our money out of the bank and putting it in our mattress to be safe, and then we're going to have a collapse of our economy again. And I'm not saying it's imminent. It's imminent if this isn't fixed in a couple of months. We are going to start suffering economic and financial upheaval that we haven't seen since the Great Depression, and that is a possibility. Listen, on the other side of the break, I do want to talk some sports. Rick Pitino is back in basketball. You've all heard about it. I'm interested in your thoughts on that. You know, the Fox Sports studio line, feel free to join. I should say the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line is 876-1340-702 in front of that, and we'll talk about Pitino. Also, guys, the collective bargain agreement is any minute now we should hear what the players' decision are. I keep looking up to see, and it says they have approved it. The players have approved the proposed collective bargaining agreement. 12:59 last night Eastern time is when it closed down, and the owners and all that submitted their side of it, the NFL, and now the Players Association. It's a good agreement for them. I'll tell you about that on the other side as well. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this, man. It's a subject that's not going to get old. It's really scary, and I'll leave you with this, and I said this the other night. I posted this on my Facebook page, but think about this, guys. You know, all of our lives as men, you know, you grow up or you try to have class and you try to have dignity and you do things with, you have manners, right? So, you know, but gas is a normal thing. Farting is something that everybody does, right? And you think your whole life, what you've done is when you think if you've been on a date, Chris, or you've been out in public and you got to let one loose. We cough to cover a fart. Now we fart to cover a cough. I can't imagine. The world has turned upside down. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, and we will be back. Well, we're a featureless Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and in studio with me, Caleb Herring, by the way. We want to wish him and his beautiful wife a happy anniversary. They are enjoying themselves. I didn't want Caleb's wife knocking me out by not letting him out of here. He texted me this week, and plus, man, putting up with him, she definitely she deserves it. But the two of them and Bobby Houck will probably have a very nice day today out on their anniversary. Caleb, if you're listening, I had to throw that in there. And also here, of course, directly in front of me on your radio dial, our producer and former and hopefully future radio locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't know when that future is going to be. None of us do, but Chris Magnum Chapman's here. And, of course, on my right, our intern extraordinaire. And I'll try to do the best I can, Caleb. It's Spencer the Wiz Ostrovsky. There, I got it. And I even said the last name properly. And we're here every Sunday, normally 8 o'clock Pacific time. But this Sunday will be the last show for, I'm not going to say the foreseeable future. I'm going to say hopefully for just a couple of weeks. And that's when I'm really hoping that we get back into it. Because I want something to talk about. I don't need Chris sitting across the table, Spencer and Caleb. And we got nothing to talk about except who's contracted coronavirus this week. You know what? SportsCenter is going to do enough of that. The cool thing is now we're seeing all kinds of classics. Yesterday I watched the Big Ten championship game from last year between Michigan and Michigan State. That was kind of cool. I learned some things about women's basketball that I did not know by them showing this love, this basketball love story on ESPN. So we've seen a lot of really cool things, and we'll see things like that to keep us entertained. But if you haven't been involved with Netflix, I'll bet you are. And video games, man, I'll bet they're running out of those on the shelves too right now, because people that are itching for sports are just going to go play video games. But real quickly, in sports, and we'll start with this one, guys, Rick Pitino, back in action, going to be coaching Iona in New York, the Iona Gales. He's taking over for Tim Clueis, who recently stepped down for health reasons. But wow, he hasn't coached in college since October of 2017. Spent the last 2.5 years coaching in Greece. He won a Greek Cup and the Greek Basketball League Championship. So he's able to coach professionals over there. At 34 years old, he led the 6-seed Providence Friars in, that was back in 1987, to the Final Four after beating the number one team in the country at that time, the John Thompson and the Georgetown Hoyas. He made a leap to the NBA in 1988, coached the Knicks. Mags remembers back when he was coaching.
Yeah, back and he when did they not had Rod Strickland that, and Pat Ewing.
That was one team that he actually did a good job with in the NBA. He didn't do a terrible job. 90-74 record. Took the Knicks back to the playoffs. They'd been out of the playoffs for 5 or 6 years. He got them back there again. And Pitino didn't do a bad job. In 89, he took a job that surprised a lot of people, only because at the time he took the job, after Eddie Sutton had gotten let go by Kentucky, the team was on NCAA probation. If you remember, for that 2-year postseason ban, he took him back to the Final Four in 1993 and then won his first national championship in 96 with Kentucky. It was the 6th ever for Kentucky. He goes back to the NBA, tries it out with the Boston Celtics, and I remember his famous line with the Celtics, Larry Bird is not walking through that door. I don't know what that ever meant, but he didn't do a good job when he coached the Celtics, came back to NCAA in 2001. Louisville completely revamped that program again. 2013, they won the national championship, although they'd eventually get stripped of that title. And I think like 123 wins he lost at Louisville as well that they took away from him for the NCAA violations. But the guy in college, Mags, this guy, Rick Pitino, could do the job and could flat-out coach in college. He's the only coach in history to take 3 different programs to the Final Four and the first to win national titles at 2 different schools, even though one of them had been stripped.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Like, to me, they won the title, stripped. Look, they were the best team.
Yeah. The guy's been to 21 NCAA tournaments, and he has a 740 winning percentage in college basketball. He is one of the best college basketball coaches in history. And Iona, they had their worst season last year since like 2008. I think they only won 12 games, but they've made the NCAA tournament a few times. And, you know, he's in New York. Where he can grab the spotlight a little bit because of his name. He'll definitely bring some people to Iona that would not have normally gone there. But, you know, this guy, it's been controversy, man. Since he went to Louisville, it has been one thing after another, from supposedly having a sexual relationship with his trainer, with the trainer's team trainer's wife or something. There's been a million different things that have gone on, sexual allegations with paid people for his coaches, from prostitutes, things like that. And then, of course, the violations of paying players to come there. They said anywhere from $14,000 to $100,000 that they've used in recruiting. Can Rick Pitino go to Iona, be clean, and win and have success?
Well, he can win and have success. Whether or not he's clean is another story. Iona is a pretty good program. Tim Clueis has done a really good job in his tenure there. I know for a while he was rumored to be going to St. John's, but he's from that area. He's a Long Island guy. Patino, remember, he started at Providence, right? Like, that was where he built his...
Well, he started at Boston University.
Boston U, and then went to Providence.
Yeah, but did well there, yeah, went to Providence. That's where his reputation got.
You know, Boston U is probably on par with what Iona is. You know, Iona's maybe a little bit better of a program, but in all honesty, Iona and Providence really aren't that much different. I mean, I know Providence is in the Big East, but Iona has had probably a little more success than Providence has the last decade, at least as far as making the NCAA tournament. I think he'll be successful there because I think it's a school where he's got a connection to New York City. Iona in New Rochelle, not too far from New York City. He'll be able to go into the city and get – he's not going to get the kids he was getting at Louisville and Kentucky, but he will get those second- and third-rate players out of New York City who are still really, really, really good players. Whether or not he's clean, another story, we don't know. We'll have to watch and see, but I think he's going to have success at Iona. And if I was in the MAAC – I would say, you know what? Other schools need to step up because Iona, they're never going to beat Gonzaga, but they could turn out to be a really good program in that conference. They could dominate it. They've been the team to beat in the MAC or MAAC, not the MAC. But you know, I think in the long run, we'll see if he's clean. If he's clean, I think he'll be there for a. Well, I don't think he'll be there for. If he's good and clean, he'll be gone quick. If he's dirty, the program will be on probation.
Well, it's crazy that his son has a better coaching job than he does. We'll see how long that is before Rick Pitino becomes good. But I want to, you know, real quickly, before we leave basketball, we go to the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL. I want to ask about UNLV right now because, you know, Pitino at one point was rumored to be potentially, this was under the radar. I think, I'm not even going to say I think. I would rather have him be the head coach at UNLV. I think anybody would. I think the guy knows how to flat-out coach at D1, and I think he is a guy that completely could revamp this program, but that's not an option right now. Right now, what is an option is TJ Otzelberger. Not a bad job in his first season. The one thing he did do is he did discover the talents of Bryce Hamilton, brought those out, and Bryce Hamilton turned into a Mountain West Conference star. Major college star, no, but a Mountain West Conference star, absolutely. He made first team All Mountain West. Amari Hardy, some rumors, some fear-mongering rumors about Amari Hardy leaving the program, graduating early and leaving. He might graduate early. I doubt he leaves the program. We did hear, though, a couple guys that are leaving the program. Jonah Antonio did graduate, so he could leave and be eligible to play next year. He will go somewhere else. Green, the other Canadian player, I should say, is also planning on.
Oh, he's Australian.
Green is Australian.
Jay
too.
Green, yeah.
So they're both Australian. So he's going. Jay Green is gone. I don't know how many others, but the bottom line is they're leaving because there's a lot of good recruits coming in, and UNLV should be one of the premier teams in the Mountain West next year. But Mags, of course, an alumni, and Spencer, the Wiz is a current UNLV student, soon an alumni. What do you think about the guys leaving, and do you think that it's going to hurt the team? A guy like Jonah Antonio, we noticed him at the end of the season starting to bank some pretty important three-pointers. But, you know, at times earlier in the season, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 3 feet away. Then he became better. But what do you think of the departure of these two guys as opposed to the guys coming in?
Well, Green doesn't matter nearly as much. He only played towards the end of the season. Not that he was bad, but he was one of the most timid basketball players I've seen in a very long time on UNLV, a guy who just kind of went with the flow, which is not really what you want out of your basketball team. Jonah Antonio is by far the biggest hit that we've taken in the offseason. He's more important than Amari Hardy would be next season, I would argue, just because we have another point guard, Jenkins, coming in who's better than...
The Wiz hates Amari Hardy.
I don't hate Amari Hardy.
Have you noticed that, Chris? He's not a fan
the
at all.
The transfer from North Dakota is objectively Detroit, better than
Hardy. I can't hate him.
I didn't say I hated him. Not at all. But if you got a guy in Jonah Antonio who can shoot potentially 40% or around that in a college season, that's already puts you amongst one of the best players in the Mountain West Conference. So losing him is really tough. I don't know who that falls on. I don't know if he was planning on doing that from the start of the season. I doubt it. He just didn't get enough minutes during the season when he should have. And again, we don't really know the full story with him, like why he wasn't getting minutes early in the season and why all of a sudden. I hope that's injuries, but I would guess not, because if he's leaving after the minutes that he got at the end of the season, you would think that there's something else going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe there was, you know, and for him to want to leave and graduate early when you know, to come here, it was a big ordeal for him. That it was kind of surprising, and I'm sure there's more to it than meets the eye. Listen, let's transition over before we tell you know, should we take our last break right now?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do that. We'll take our last break right now. We'll come back and we will talk about the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL. It's really kind of exciting, some of the changes. And I guess one other thing we can talk to now is free agency is really the Tom Brady bidding or so to speak, or courting is in full bloom right now, and it does seem like the Raiders are a front runner for Tom Brady to end up here, and some of the experts are saying do not expect him in New England, which really is where I thought he'd end up next year. Listen, we will talk about that and more. You're listening to Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, well, the puck stopped last week permanently, or at least temporarily, I should say, in the National Hockey League. The National Hockey League, like the National Basketball Association, both plan on crowning champions this year, and I sure hope that they get around to it. It really sucks for the Golden Knights. 71 games into the season. They got 31 wins, 24 losses, 8 overtime losses, and 86 points. 3 points clear of the Edmonton Oilers right now in the Pacific Division of the Western Conference. 2-game winning streak went before the thing went away. They were 8-2 in their last 10 games. One of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League over the last month. Really a lousy time for this kind of thing to take hold. I mean, they are right there playing as good as anybody in the league. Picked up a backup goaltender that is going to compete for the starting job this year in the postseason. If Fleury faltered at all, they are set with that. And next season, they look really good. But just a really bad time for this to happen for them, for hockey. Not like there's ever a good time. But, Chris, you know, we were saying earlier in the season, we were just this team might not be a playoff team. What we were talking about right before the coronavirus postponed the National Hockey League season was this team now with Pete DeBoer has turned into a legit, not only a legit playoff team, but a legit contender for the Stanley Cup. And man, this sucks.
Yeah, I mean, and let's look at it from this perspective as well. Not just the Golden Knights, but a lot of teams are in this same situation. What about teams that traded for rentals? You gave up prospects, draft picks for 2 weeks. I mean, Robin Leonard's only been on the team for 2 weeks. And the Golden Knights, I mean, granted, they didn't give up a ton to get him, but they still gave up prospects and draft picks.
Yep.
And
for this year. That was for this year.
And there's a lot of teams around the league that are in the same situation. So I'm going to be curious to see how the league handles that. My guess would maybe be some compensation picks. They have them in the NFL. I can't say the word compensence. Whatever. Compensation picks. Yeah, cut that out, right? forget it.
Compensation, we're good.
Speaking of social media, just real quick, I had the greatest social media clip.
Well, give out our social media, because I don't think we've done that yet.
Out of Line, Fox LV. I had the greatest clip last week of Caleb. It's just the slow zoom in of his face. You have to go to the Twitter site to see it, because it's by far the best
thing I've
ever had.
Man. I haven't watched it. I'll have to check that out. But, you know, and I agree. A lot of teams were trying to position themselves like they do every year by the trading deadline to get the players to help them that season, maybe make a run at the Stanley Cup. And that's all changed now. And, you know, I feel terrible for those teams and guys, but no one I feel worse for, because they are saying the NHL and the NBA are still trying to complete this season and crown champions. There won't be a champion crowned in college basketball, men's or women's. And to me, it is one of the biggest crimes in history. You know, what I feel, and I don't care if they find ways to give these players exemptions to allow them to come back next year. You know, Chris, my heart bleeds for guys like the guy we heard last week that I interviewed, Sam Merrill, or a guy like a team like Dayton, for God's sakes. When is Dayton ever going to get a number one seed in the college tournament? They've got one player on their team that is an NBA juggernaut to be, and yet he's going to be gone. And he's not going to stay. I don't care if they grant him. Well, he's not a senior anyways, but like Sam Merrill. Oh, my God. This poor guy. Utah State, I believe, could have won a game or two depending on their seeding in the tournament.
Well,
and that's all Sam wanted to do was win a game in the tournament. It's his bucket list. Well, he'll never get a chance
Their coach, right? I mean, I would imagine he has higher aspirations. No offense to Utah State, but, you know, a lot of these coaches from smaller schools, the NCAA tournament is their opportunity to shine.
No doubt. No doubt.
Now they're denied that opportunity. Not only will he lose Sam Merrill, he may lose Kata as well. So he may lose his two best players. He may never have a team as good as he had this year.
Yeah, and he won't get Brian Dutcher.
He may never have it. Not that I think Brian Dutcher was going anywhere, but San Diego State
had a legit opportunity to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
With the right seedings, the right matchups. You're right. It just sucks for teams like that. And like I said, Dayton, for them to puff their chest out, everyone around the country, like, who the hell is Dayton? And you would have found out, and now you never will. I watched that kid put a ball between his legs, go from the left hand to the right hand in the full fly, and do a windmill dunk in a game. This was an electrifying player that nobody's going to get to see. They'll see him in the NBA. You'll probably learn about the guy, but really, really a drag. Listen, with the last couple minutes, I did want to talk about the collective bargaining agreement. And Chris, I did want to tell you one thing, too. Friday night, you know, it's funny because we always joke around about the promo with Carolyn Goodman. Friday night at the Tap House, guess who sat right next to me and my buddy Nick from the Raj? Carolyn and Oscar come walking in the Tap House on Friday night. And guess what? She didn't know me from Adam.
Wow, but I thought you were a tremendous asset to the community.
A come for the community, whatever that means. But I did not go up and say hello to her. I was going to foot bump her, but she was wearing open-toed shoes, and I was a little scared that if I foot bumped her, I could get the coronavirus. So, Spencer, I'm going to foot bump after the show. I noticed today he's not wearing his open-toed shoes. Listen, the collective bargaining agreement, the polls closed at 11:59 Eastern time last night. The proposal was 456 pages long. The proposal changes, the main ones anyone, are these, and it looks like they are going to be accepted. It says right now we're watching ESPN here in studio. NFL players vote to approve the new CBA. So check out what it does. The regular season will increase to 17 games in 2021. Preseason games will be reduced to 3, which I think is ideal. The playoff expansion, check this out, guys. This happens this year. It will go from 12 to 14 teams, and only one seed in each conference will get a bye. And also this year, player league revenue sharing will go up from 47% to 48.5% if the 17-game schedule gets approved for 2020, which it should. With the astronomical money the league generates, that 1.5%, guys, will bump. That bump alone could add up to roughly $5 billion over the life of the deal, which is 10 years. That is unreal. And they are looking to eliminate suspensions for positive tests for THC. Let me get that
very
right.
Different.
For THC, though, for marijuana smoking, they are finally not going to suspend players. And I think that's crucial. A lot of these guys smoke pot in the offseason. They're always trying to cover it up. Leave them alone. I just hope they don't smoke during a game because I think it can impair your judgment a bit. But again, the NFLPA is done. It looks like they have approved it. So all these changes will go into effect. And the new deal would start this year and run through 2030. It's a 10-year extension, 11-year deal, whatever way you want to look at it. Spencer, you had some thoughts on the collective bargaining agreement. You don't like it. I think it's huge for both sides.
I think there are some good things. It's not a completely terrible deal, obviously. There's one glaring issue that's right in front of all of our faces that none of us have noticed. The average career of an NFL player right now is 3.3 years.
Very good. It's exactly 3.3. I knew that, but that's good.
If you extend the season, that number becomes 2.8. And do you guys know what the cutoff for lifetime benefits are for
three
an
years.
NFL? It's 3 years. That's the whole reason for this deal.
Ah, very interesting. Good stuff because it's really close. But yeah, that's huge.
You know, there's no difference between a 16-game and a 17-game season for the NFL. There really isn't.
But what you're saying, and I get it, is it's 17 games that starters play as opposed to 16.
It's
because
the
preseason, really, the starters are gingered, are pushed along and coddled, and they don't play very much. Other than the second-to-last preseason game, they get their big warm-up. But really, still, in an intense game, a coach is going to pull him. A 17th game, that's one more game the starters are going to play. So
this
I see it.
This isn't a deal for Odell Beckham Jr. or Aaron Rodgers. It's for that average NFL guy that we only see on Hard Knocks every few years that we barely know about.
The special
that's the guy who's going to be drinking out of a straw when he's 42 years old and he's not going to be able to get health benefits to provide for him or his family. That's what I'm concerned about the most. And I talked about this on my podcast with my friend. I said, he's dangling money in front of the star players because all of them are going to get extra money from this deal. They get like up to $250,000 per paycheck or something crazy like that. He dangled money in front of their faces and said, will you accept this deal, you know, if we kind of brush aside some of the average guys? And I said, I hope that they band together and say no, but here we are.
And you know, for us as fans, it's good. But I see what you're saying. You're thinking about the players, and that's admirable of you. I like the extra game. I'm not loving the extra two teams in the playoffs, but being a Lions fan, I would like all the teams to get in the playoffs because at least I'll watch my team play one extra game during the season. We're just about out of time. I do want to say I thank everyone for listening. Please take care out there as we go through this. And, guys, we are going to be taking hiatus from the show, and this will be the last Out of Line broadcast Sunday morning until further notice. It's that UFN, and I'm hoping it's really soon. I mean, I hope that by this time next week, everything's already back up and running. I doubt it will be, and if it will be, that means I'll be in Costa Rica. That means Caleb, Spencer, and Mags will be holding down the fort next Sunday, but I doubt you'll hear us next Sunday based on where things are going, and I apologize for that, but again, we don't need to sit here and spend every Sunday talking about the coronavirus and how it's affecting sports when there pretty much is no sports. I don't need to be a UFC show. I'm not going to be one. So that's going to be what there is to or a horse racing show. That's not my thing either. Everyone out there, stay safe. And I'll tell you two words. SC typically stands for Sports Center in the Working World. We talked about this before. And SC right now for me, and it's advice to everybody out there, if you could hear me and you are in a part of humanity, stay civilized. I don't want to see somebody cough on the corner and have four people go and kick the crap out of them. I hope it never gets to that point. I don't think it will in this country, but I worry in other countries about things like that happening and people taking this to an extreme. Please stay civilized. Don't buy all the toilet paper. There's tap water. If you absolutely run out, believe me, you can boil it and drink it. You're fine. And, you know, take care of each other, man. Be good to one another. And if you think you've got symptoms of the virus, man, just simply go get checked, man. Help everyone out and, you know, keep the old people bottled down. That's why I'm going home and locking myself up. Listen, this is Out of Line. We will be back very soon at some point, I'm sure. 8 to 9 every Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Want to thank our sponsors who are always around, Buffalo Wild Wings, the Las Vegas Aviators, and of course, our title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time. I'm Brian Feldman for Chris Chapman, for Spencer, the Wiz Ostrowski, and for Caleb Herring, who will be back next time. We're out. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.